Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. What's going on? A tremendous Tuesday morning to you. My name is Jim Rome, live in Southern California, and in fact, live in our Quicken Loan studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What's going on? Nice to have you here. Crazy, crazy game last night. It's going to take me a lot of time to set this thing up and lay it out for you. If you know what you want to talk about, if you've got your angle already, don't waste time. We are front-loading the program today, so you want to get in right now. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You saw the game. You've got your takes on the game. Don't wait on me. Don't wait on me. Hit me up right now. Good phone call, and I'll break the format wide open. For the right telephone call, I will go right to it in the first segment. Call right now. It's toll-free. Hey, one more thing about this. Maybe you're new to the program. Maybe you're new to the process. Understand that the first voice that you hear is not going to be mine. I mean, it would stand to reason, right? I can't host the show and screen the calls at the same exact time. The first voice that you hear is Adam Hawk. So what you don't want to say, yo, Van Smack, what's up? What's up? Hey, listen, Van Smack. You need to get through him to get to me. It's not that hard. Just make sure you know what you want to talk about. Have a take. Have a good, strong, solid take, and he will put you right in the rotation. But it's amazing to me after all this time how many of you think that when you call that I'm there answering the phone myself. I'm not saying that I'm better than that. I'm saying that I've got to host the show. I can't do both those things. So we all multitask. One of his many tasks is to screen the calls out. So understand that. The first voice that you hear is not going to be mine. It's going to be Adam Hawk. Hit him up in order to get to me. If you want to get directly to me, just follow me on Twitter. That'll put you right in my phone. If you want to email the program, and follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. If you want to email the program, just go Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Coming up in 15 minutes, a college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel. Hour number two, Derek Morgan, a linebacker for the Tennessee Titans. Right after that, in the second hour, Aaron Jackson, a U.S. Olympic speed skater. Very, very good story, which is why I'm going to hit that. So all three interviews in the first half of the program, we are front-loading. Doesn't mean that you can't get through. In fact, I will put you up if you call right now, and it's going to make the show better. Let's start with the title game last night. Alabama 26, Georgia 23. Yeah, I know you know, but I want to get that out of the way. I want to get that out of the way in the event that you saw the first half and then you watched Kendrick Lamar and thought, yeah, you know, it's not going to get any better than this. I think I'll shut this thing off right now. If that was you, I don't blame you, but I would feel sorry for you. Kendrick was amazing, and it was the best thing that that game had going for it until a new star hit the stage. Because as bad as that first half was, and it was pretty terrible. It was a borderline unwatchable rock fight. Kind of reminded me of Bills Jags, but in all the worst ways. As bad as that first half was, the second half was that good. It just doesn't even do it justice. I mean, it's been roughly 12 hours since that game ended, and I still can't believe what we saw last night. It's going to take a long time to understand, comprehend, and process what we all just witnessed. And I guess to earn that amazing second half, we had to grind through that brutal first half. Because without that brutal first half from Alabama, where they had 94 yards, four first downs, and they trailed 13-0, we would not have gotten what we got in the second half. And what we got in the second half was Tua Tagovailoa replacing Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And we got a star, a straight-up star in Tua. And after last night, he's already in that one-name club with Madonna and Prince and Pele. And as much as last night's win was about Nick Saban, and I'll get to Nick in a minute, it really was all about Tua, a true freshman who never started a game and never played in a big moment before. He replaced Hurts, and then the guy comes in, he absolutely lights the college football world on fire. So take a step back. Forget what you know right now and go back to when he first entered that game. Go back to that moment when Nick Saban yanked his starting quarterback. I mean, a guy who led him to the national championship game last season and then had him within seconds of a win and then replaced him with a true freshman down 13-0. Are you serious? The national championship game is not the time or place for a quarterback controversy. Anybody else does that, and it's a straight-up panic move. But it did work early on. And after going three and out on that first drive, which actually resulted in a block punt for Georgia that was called back, Tua lights a spark in the Alabama offense, and in fact, the Alabama defense too. It put Georgia on their heels. That moment should have been too big for a kid like that, but it wasn't. His second drive reads like this. Incompletion, 4-yard run, 9-yard run for a first down, 15-yard completion for a first down, 9-yard completion, 14-yard completion for a first down, and 6-yard completion for a touchdown. But even that doesn't do it justice, because on that 9-yard scramble on third down, this guy took multiple hits, and he never went down. He changed fields, and he picks up a vital first down. You see, that's when it was clear that there was something really, really different about Tua, that he wasn't just crazy athletic, but that the guy was fearless and tough as hell. Then on the next drive, he was a little bit too fearless, right? Georgia had just scored another TD. They go up 20-7. Tua comes out. He tosses a pick. That's the kind of moment that would crush nearly any freshman. You know, you fly too close to the sun, you get burned, and then you crash back to earth. But again, not this guy, not Tua. The Bama defense gets him the ball back with an interception on the next play, and then he leads a field goal drive. So it's me at this point. The question wasn't whether or not it was a good idea to go to Tua in the second half. The question was, why the hell wasn't the guy in there earlier? Why wasn't he in there from the start? Why wait? I could not believe what I was seeing from Tua, and I could not understand why we had to wait so long to see it. I mean, this guy can sling it. This guy can lower his head and truck guys, and he's composed. He handled the post-game interviews like a 30-year-old man and not a freshman. Bottom line, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it. And this guy's got more it than any freshman I have ever seen. So he did his job. He leads Alabama on a potential game-winning drive in regulation, only to see his kicker go out there and butcher a potential game-winning chip shot, sending it into overtime. Once again, an emotional dagger for Tua and for the Tide. You get that close to the title, and then you have a shanked kick. Good luck ever getting over that. You lose that game that way, and everyone's lives, or everybody has to live with that the rest of their lives. And nobody ever gets over something like that. So what happens in OT? Georgia gets the ball. They kick a field goal. Then on the very first play of overtime, Tua makes his biggest mistake. He gets sacked for a 16-yard loss. Picked a terrible moment for his freshman moment. But before you could comprehend just how bad that sack was and point to that as one of the reasons that they had the crystal and they lost it, this guy steps up and he does this.
Second 26 on the 41, they say. Tagovailoa going downfield. He's got a man open. Oh, my God. Touchdown. Alabama has won it.
We just lost him in the secondary. Too deep. Got behind our quarterback. And the Crimson Tide. Sweet jubilation for them as the Dogs are heartbroken.
Bulldog Sportsnet with that audio. I mean, just had a brutal freshman moment and one that looked like it might cost them the game. And then this kid bounces right back with a play of a lifetime. Yeah, actually, check that. The play of just about any other quarterback's lifetime. Because if this guy's doing that in his first serious action, who knows what else he's going to do in his career. He just went from never starting a game to winning the national championship. He nearly cost his team the game in one moment, and he wins it in the very next. So, where does that leave us? I mean, the guy could be a total flash in the pan. He could be one incredible moment and done, except I doubt that. I mean, he could be, and if he is, then that's great, because that moment was that incredible. There's never been another moment like that, and we may never, ever see another moment like that ever again. But you know that's not going to be the last of Tua. This guy's a straight-up star. A star. And now that Nick Saban has allowed himself maybe 10 minutes to enjoy that championship, now he has to decide who is his QB1 going forward, Tua or Hurts, who might be the best teammate ever, by the way, for handling that benching the way he did. But he may have to be once again, because I don't know how you keep Tua off the field going forward. Sure, they don't have to play again for 8 months. A lot can happen between now and then. But this kid is just that electric. It's hard to imagine putting that back into the bottle. Pretty much impossible, if you ask me. So again, I know that's a ton in the open, but that's kind of a hard game to cover in one open. I've got lots of thoughts about that matchup, the decisions that were made, what that means to Georgia, what that means to Bama, what that means to Tua, what that means to Jalen Hurts, what that means to Nick Saban and his legacy, what that means to college football. And didn't I say when the playoff was announced that everybody was killing Alabama, saying they were undeserving, they shouldn't be there. It wouldn't be the most Nick Saban thing ever to get in when everybody's saying he shouldn't be in and win the whole damn thing again, which is what he did, of course. 1-800-636-8686. I've got to get your reaction. What do you think about what you saw last night? First email through. Dearest Bama fan, I'll be honest and say I have never been a fan as much as I've ragged on your team in the past. I'm going to take the high road this time around. After this impressive feat, all I can really say is yeehaw! Strap up your overalls, wrangle some critters, and round up some well water, because we eating good tonight. Go holler for Mary Sue and Bobby Jane. They're down by the creek washing their britches. Meemaw's fixing her raccoon casserole with Uncle Junebug's corn whiskey mash. So grab your banjo and meet at the barn house round sundown, you hear? Roll Tide! Nick and the Natty. Bro, you're in the Natty. You're in the Natty, all right? You're not that far away. War Bama fans, branchless family tree. Listen, if you want to talk about Bama, yeah, that's really funny. A branchless family tree. Hey, Hawk, you've never heard that before? Hey, Hawk, 1994 called. They want their rag back. Hawk's rolling around back there in the control room like that's the funniest thing he's ever heard. Oh, he said a branchless family tree. 1994 called, Hawk. They want their rag back. Listen, if you want to talk about Bama fatigue, let's go ahead and do that. If you want to talk about the SEC and SEC fatigue, let's go ahead and do that. But let's not talk about, quote, Bama fans' branchless family tree. I've got a thought on Bama fatigue. Bama fatigue is real. People are sick of seeing the Crimson Tide. They're sick of seeing Saban. They're sick of seeing Bama. However, if they're going to air it out like that, and they're going to go all air raid with it like that, and they're going to roll Tua out there, that's no longer the Bama that we know. It's not so much that they always win. Well, it's so much that they always win. It's not so much that they always win. It's that they always win and win the way they win. But if they're going to win like that, that's going to change everything. And this guy's already on to my next point. Dear state of Georgia, well, 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 another championship game for your state, another big lead, and another collapse. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a 25-point second-half collapse, but I mean, damn. You really couldn't finish off another championship game? Ice up and pray to God the Falcons can save you guys from another complete year of misery. Matt in Poland Springs. That guy's on to the very obvious point, which is where I'm going to go after I do my next interview, or my first interview. Pete Thamel's coming up in about 5 minutes. After that, we talk about what that means to Georgia, what that means to the entire state, the fact that they had their hearts ripped out yet again, a meltdown on the big stage yet again. All that's coming up. Pete Thamel coming up next segment. Derek Morgan, top of hour number two. Aaron Jackson, also in hour number two. Third hour is wide open. Let's get it. Rainy day here in SoCal, but it feels good to be in the box. I am Jim Rome, and we're talking more championship game when we come back.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. Once again, talking about some Alabama fatigue. If you've got that and you're sick of them and you don't want to see them anymore on that big stage, big problem. Not only did they win again, they won with freshmen. Not only did they win with freshmen, but you got a head coach who's not showing any signs of slowing down. Joining us now to talk about that and everything relating to last night's game is a national college football and basketball reporter for Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel. Pete, good morning. Great to have you back. How are you?
Hey, Jim, great to be here, man.
It's good to have you, Pete. So before we get into the details of the game last night, now you've had a few hours to think about this one and reflect upon it. When you look back on last night's game, Pete, what sticks out to you most of all?
You know, good question, Jim. I really think this reminds me of the national title game 2 years ago when Nick Saban's onside kick in the fourth quarter of a tie game really set the tenor and paved the way to win. And, you know, he came to that decision, Jim, basically because he did not think they could stop Deshaun Watson 2 years ago. And this year, his decision was very simple. He didn't think they could win with Jalen Hurts playing quarterback. I think they had 90-something yards and four first downs in the first half. So what he decided to do was say, hey, we're going to put in Tua Tagovailoa, never started a game, never really played a pressure snap in his entire career, and we're going to insert him in the game. And obviously, in retrospect, he looked like a genius.
You know, I want to ask you about that in 1 second, Pete, but it wasn't just that Alabama wasn't able to move the ball, and they weren't, but there was nothing about them that looked like they were Alabama. I mean, they're making mental errors. In the third quarter, you have Mekhi Brown throwing a punch at a Georgia player. He gets into it with staffers on the sideline. Exactly what happened in that case?
Well, I just think that was a young kid, and he told me last night I was a jerk and I could have cost us the game. But you're right, Jim. The whole thing looked very un-Alabama. It was the unprocessed moment, and look, they were unraveling a little bit. I mean, you're down double digits and multiple scores in the national title game, and your offense isn't working. There's an added pressure to have to make plays and to do things, and so. Mekhi Brown went after a guy named Kerry Stevenson, who's the director of player personnel, one of 763 Alabama off-field assistants that they have. And, I mean, it was a startling moment to see. It's one you don't appreciate live way up in the press box as much as TV. And, look, on TV, it looks pretty ugly.
Pete Thamel joining us. All right, so Tua arrives in Alabama. Pete, obviously, with a ton of hype. But if you were to give Nick Saban some truth serum, when he made that switch, did he have any idea that that freshman would show up the way that he did in the second half?
Well, he played excellent, Jim, but he was far from perfect, as Nick pointed out after the game. I mean, he obviously took that horrible sack to start overtime. He threw an interception. The touchdown pass on 4th and 4, which was another great call by Nick. I didn't ask Tua about this after the game, but it looked like he was trying to throw to another receiver. So, and I believe he was like 11 of 22, somewhere in that neighborhood. So it wasn't like he went in and went 20 of 22 and played flawless. But what he did was present enough of a threat with his arm that Georgia had to change the way they were playing defense, and they couldn't stack the box like they were. And then the run game opened up, and everything kind of flowed from there. So did Nick Saban know he was going to do this? No, but he also had no other choice.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. You know, Pete, right before you came on, I mentioned that they're doing this, and they're doing it with freshmen, because Tua was not the only freshman who had a huge impact on that game in the second half. So if you're the rest of college football, and you see Nick Saban winning his 6th national championship with yet another wave of talented freshmen, how worrisome is that to everybody else?
Yeah, you know, it was funny, because for the first half last night, it looked like there could be a little bit of a start of the changing of the guard.
Right.
And order was quickly restored. I believe it's 5 titles in 9 years. And look, this is modern college football. What you saw last night is modern college football. Nick Saban, talented players, young players playing above their age and their grade, making plays. And there is no sign to me, when you look at a true freshman quarterback throwing to a freshman receiver, when you look at all of the talented young guys that Alabama has over the ball, until this year they had 7 consecutive number one recruiting classes. It is a machine that is emotionless and merciless and marching on.
Pete Thamel, my guest. So, Pete, the guy's done everything there is to do in the game. What's your sense at this point in his professional life? What motivates him and what drives him now when there's nothing left to accomplish?
Well, he's chasing history now. He's tied with Bear for 6 national titles. And I have seen, and those around him have seen, no signs of him slowing down. 66 years old, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to go 10 more years, but I don't think any sort of consideration of retirement is imminent. I've been given no sense of that.
You know, but there was something different about last night. He said afterwards, quote, "I've never been happier in my life. Never." It's a pretty amazing statement from Nick Saban. Why do you think last night's game made him so happy? In other words, why was last night better than all the others?
You know what? He's sort of a slave to the precious present. He's a singularly focused guy. So last night was the greatest night of his life and the greatest game of his life because it was the game in front of him, or the game that had just been behind him. So I didn't read anything else into that other than he wanted to deflect any notion of himself historically and put the focus on what his team had just accomplished. He's been pretty consistent about that theme throughout the years, Jim.
We're talking to Pete Thamel. Pete, before you go, let me get your thoughts on the other side, the Georgia side. You had a great piece the other day on time that you spent with Sonny and Sharon Smart. They're Kirby's parents. First off, where do they live and what's life like there?
So it was a great, fun story. Sonny Smart is an old Georgia high school coach from Central Casting. He coached a little bit in Alabama, so more than 3 decades banging around the Southeast. And his mom was an English teacher, and they called themselves a package deal. And I went up to Raven Gap, which is right on the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia border, on the far northeastern part of the state, and it was just a beautiful little town at the base of the Smoky Mountains, and you could quickly see, you know, what formed Kirby Smart long before, you know, he became a lieutenant to Nick Saban. He was the salutatorian of his high school class. He spoke at graduation. You know, he was on the math team. You know, he would leave baseball games or sporting events and go, you know, go be a ringer on the school's math team. He's a well-rounded, bright guy whose parents were obviously a significant influence. And, you know, he's the kind of the classic coach's kid, Jim, you've heard it a million times, who grew up tagging along practice and hanging out in his dad's locker room and on the sideline and kind of grew up that way. And his dad had coached all over the state of Georgia, is very respected in the fraternity of Georgia high school coaches. And he was really groomed, you know, from birth for this Georgia job.
All right, so knowing what you know about his parents, knowing what you know about Kirby Smart, how do you think he's going to process this loss?
Now, I thought, he obviously won't think this way because he's a super intense coach, but I thought Georgia was playing with house money last night, Jim. You know, like, nobody expected them to get there. They were 8-5 last year, you know, played in the Liberty Bowl. All right? They had two dynamic tailbacks come back, and he's just pushed that program so much further, so much faster. I think when he has a couple days to sit back and realize that they won the SEC, Georgia had the number one ranked recruiting class in the country this year, they're well ahead of schedule. And, you know, what he learned from Nick Saban is complacency is your enemy, and he's going to keep pushing him forward.
And listen, one last thought, Pete. You have a young quarterback like they have in Fromm. And to me, until I saw Tua last night, I thought that I'd never seen a freshman quite like Fromm. I mean, a really special young guy. But when you've got the backfield they have, guys like Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, and you've got that lead, is he going to look back? Is Kirby Smart going to look back and regret that he didn't try to spin the clock and feed that monster and go with that backfield more than he did, especially given the lead they had?
Well, I think the biggest strategic blunder that Georgia made last night, Jim, was that Nick Chubb did not have a good night. You know, he averaged somewhere around 2 yards a carry, less than 2 yards a carry. Sony Michel had a great night, and they did not feed the hot hand in the second half. But I'll leave you with this thought, which is a delicious one for your listeners who probably don't follow recruiting. Georgia has the number one quarterback recruit in the country coming in next year, a kid named Justin Fields. Could have been a high pick in baseball. You know, I saw him play at a quarterback collective camp this summer, and people considered him to be in the vein of the next Cam Newton. So I had an SEC quarterback guy tell me that, you know, who's recruited all these guys over the years, tell me that he thought that Fields was so talented he could replace Fromm. So, you know, those are first world problems now, you know, when you have things going that way.
No doubt. Glad you brought that up, Pete. In fact, I'm going to pick that up when we come back. Pete, great to have you on. I know it was a long night for you. Really nice to have you on the show once again. Thanks so much, Pete.
Hey, Jim, thanks for thinking of me.
Pete Thamel joining us. All right, so Georgia, you've got that coming in too. You've got a guy who comes in who might be better than Fromm. And Fromm already is almost unlike any freshman I've ever seen. So when we come back, let's talk about Georgia, what they did last night, what they didn't do last night, what cost them last night, and the fact that that's another devastating loss on the big stage for those fans. Yeah, I'm guessing, maybe it's just me, but I'm guessing there are some Georgia fans that are also Falcon fans. Tough 11 months. That's where we're headed when we come back. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. You want to hit me up right now. Tremendous Tuesday morning to you. What's cracking in Southern California? I'm Jim Rome. Time now for a sports update. Here is the very...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tennessee Titans are still alive. Of course, nobody's giving them any kind of chance right now, but that's what was said before their opening game in the postseason, and here they are. Derek Morgan, Titans linebacker, joins me next hour, and we're going to talk to U.S. Olympic speed skater Aaron Jackson right after that. My thoughts on the Bulldogs in 1 second. A couple of quick emails, or I should say tweets. At JJeter11 tweets, another reason to stick to four. The selection committee obviously got it right 2 years in a row, and less hits for kids in unpaid games. So is less more in this case? Hard to argue that point right now. At Bozo the Kronk tweets, remember, the Browns had Hoodie and Sabes at the same damn time. So one of the worst organizations ever had the two best coaches ever. I mean, literally, the best NFL coach ever and the best college coach ever in Hoodie and Saves. Pedro in Calgary asks, is it Podcast Tuesday? It is Podcast Tuesday. And podcast episode number 18 drops a little bit later on today. It's 18, right? Or is it 19? Let's confirm that, fellas. We've got a debate I'm not sure if it's 18 or 19. I want to say it's 18. Keith Arnold says 19. Austin says 18. Hey, Hawk, in a word. This is number 19. All right, anyway, podcast 19 drops later on today. It's one of my favorites, one of my best friends, Tom Tolbert, who is a jungle legend who had something amazing and terrifying happen to him this summer. Tommy T, Tom Tolbert is going to be our podcast guest. And your voicemail calls jumped the year. They're back to start the year. I'll have that for you a little bit later on. In fact, a complete preview of the pod later on. Now that we've talked about Bama, and I've got more to say about them, now that we've talked about Nick Saban, and I've got more to say about him, Georgia fans, let me ask you a question. How y'all feeling today? Based on the cutaways to the dog fans late in that game, I'm going to guess not that good. In fact, I'm going to guess probably pretty crappy. And you should. I'd feel lousy also if I threw down the kind of cash that Georgia fans were throwing down to witness last night, only to witness last night. Because it was all right there for you. Playing the national championship game in your own backyard, up by double digits at halftime, and then it all fell apart in the worst way possible. And no, I'm not going to take this opportunity to run down all the misery and heartbreak that Georgia has experienced at the championship level. I am not going to take the time to talk about the Atlanta Braves dominating for nearly a decade and a half and only having one world championship to show for it. Also, I'm not going to talk about the Neek, Tree, Doc, Spud, Concac Hawks being very good at a very bad time to be very good in the East. I'm certainly not going to talk about 28-3, because all of that is just ancient history. Most of those wounds have already scarred over by now, but last night is still fresh, isn't it? And it's all the more fresh because for much of last night, it looked like Georgia was going to do it. I mean, for much of last night, Kirby Smart and his crew looked like they were about to do what nobody does. They looked like they were going to out Saban Nick Saban. Georgia looked more like Alabama than Alabama did. And Alabama looked nothing like Alabama for most of the night. For a moment, it looked like it was Georgia's night, especially when they mastered the sideline time and time again. Georgia's game plan was to let it rip and go through the air. True freshman Jake Fromm was doing what no true freshman does on the biggest stage. Like I said, the kid's special. He was doing what no true freshman does on the biggest stage until he was upstaged by another true freshman. And yes, it is kind of painful to look back and see this Sony Michel punishing Michel, who was running lights out. And Nick Chubb only had 32 carries between them when they had the lead for much of the game. You know, Georgia fan, like it's painful to look back on that huge sack on first down in overtime that swung all the momentum to Georgia for a split second before it got ripped right back. Just ask Davin Bellamy. He came up with that sack. He said, quote, "I'm still kind of stuck in the moment, but life goes on from here. Eventually, I've got to get over it. I left it all out there. Second and 26 makes it so hard." End of quote. It makes it amazingly hard. And you know that's not the last time that Georgia or Georgia fans are going to hear about second and 26. In fact, there are going to be years of hearing about that. Second and 26. Second and 26 is the new 28-3. Which is some added salt in the wound because you know a ton of Georgia fans are also Atlanta Falcon fans, which means you've had a really tough 11 months when it comes to big-time football games with halftime leads. And yes, Georgia fans, I am aware that a number of calls and non-calls did not go your way. There was the almost interception in the end zone. There was the punt block that was called back. But as always, and hear me out, listen very carefully, Georgia fan. As always, you're pointing to the refs, and if you're doing that, you're doing it all wrong. The refs did not lose that game for Georgia. Georgia lost that game for Georgia. When you blow a double-digit halftime lead to a true freshman quarterback and get let off the hook by a missed field goal at the end of regulation, And then you give up a walk-off touchdown on a 2nd and 26 in overtime, then you have nobody to blame but yourselves. It was right there for you repeatedly, and you let it slip away. How do you not know by now that Alabama is the ultimate vampire? And you better ram that stake right through their heart when you have that chance. When you get a foot on their throat, you need to finish them. But Georgia couldn't finish. They didn't finish. They managed to do just enough to keep Bama alive. You do that, and then a simple blown coverage in overtime, and you've got the source of pain. And not for years, but I'm talking about for a lifetime. Hey, but you know me, Georgia fan. You know me. I'm not here to hate. I'm here to celebrate. I'm a glass half full guy. And if you want to look for the silver lining in last night's thunderstorm of pain and misery, it's the fact that you've got a stud freshman quarterback and another stud on the way. And this team is loaded and it's not going anywhere. But it is going to be a long 8 months until that season starts, which means it's going to be a long 8 months to have that taste of last night in your mouth. And that taste is terrible. Because you were this close. You were so close. Saying something sucks is not a take. But to get that close in your own backyard to ending nearly 4 decades without a title and then to come up short, now that sucks. It really sucks.
Oh, my God, touchdown, Alabama has won it.
Oh, my God is right. You had it. It was right there. Bulldog fan, get up in here. Own this. Suck it up. Get up in here. Let me know how that feels because it happened again. Again. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. David in Tampa. David, good to have you on. How are you?
Jimmy, I'm not hearing much compassion, buddy, and I need it. That's brutal. Native Atlantan, 56 years old, waited 51 years for the Falcons to choke it out, waited 37 years for this last one. I was at the Notre Dame game in 80 when we beat them, helped tear down the goalpost. We lost that game last night. I hadn't had a beer the whole game. I polished off 6 and a bottle of wine and sat on the porch until 4 o'clock crying in that beer. And it's like you said, the same thing with the Braves. You know, best pitching staff in history of baseball. And we won one lousy World Series. You know, I was at game 3 when we lost to the Yankees with a 2-0 lead coming back from New York. You know how hard it is to be a fan? Georgia, Atlanta. It's brutal, man. I can't take it. I need psychiatric help right now.
My man, I'm here to
help. I couldn't get out of bed this morning.
You couldn't get out of bed. That's probably because you had a bottle of wine and 6 beers in about 10 minutes. Now, I feel you, David. I really do. I'm sorry about that. Nice job. Rack him, Avi. I hate to rack guys that are that despondent, but go ahead and rack him. You just said, I'm not feeling a whole lot of compassion, buddy. I'm not hearing the empathy in your voice. I know, too. And there's something about this. There's always kind of a sliding scale. Notice that's why I did not rush to bury a young kicker who yipped hard with a chance to win the national championship game in regulation. I wasn't one of those guys. Because to me, the sliding curve is it's college. These guys aren't paid. Yeah, I know. SEC, blah, blah, blah. They're not paid. They're not paid. They're not professional athletes. It's different with a college kid. So when you see a kid like that miss a kick like that, that's probably going to stay with him for the rest of his life if they don't come back and win that game, then I'm trying not to pile on. I'm trying not to pile on, but then again, I'm watching that game, and I'm watching how that thing ends, and I'm thinking about Georgia sports. I'm thinking about the past year. I'm thinking about the past 30 years. And it's kind of hard not to pile on to a certain extent. Yeah, but like I said, I'm not going to go back and relive all of that misery for you because that would be piling on. That wouldn't be fair. Hey, and listen, let's not think about the dominance for a decade and a half of the Atlanta Braves and the fact that they had one of the biggest or one of the best rotations ever and they have one world championship to show for it. At least they won that one world championship. Hey, nobody can ever take the fact that Barry Bonds was unable to throw out Sid Bream from deep short. Nobody can take that from you, Braves fan, or Georgia native. So let's just focus on the positive. Let's not talk about the ones that got away. Let's talk about the one that you won. The one that you won. Anyway, last night, 26-23. That's the new 28-3. And my man said, I didn't have a beer all night long, and I finished by polishing off a 6er and a bottle of wine. And I couldn't get out of bed this morning. Right. That would be the liquor. That would not be the loss. Let's go this time to Florida. Kevin, you are next. It's good to have you on, Kevin. How are you?
Vince Mack, what's up, player?
What's up? What's up? How you doing, Kevin?
Good, man. Good to hear your voice. Listen, I got a message for Mr. David. Hey, loser, that's not one bad night. That's your reality. You live in the state of chokers. So why don't you line a few more bottles up for the next few nights, because it's going to take a while to get over that. Before I G off real quick, I just want to know, I can't believe they blew that game, Rome. I mean, why do teams continue to play not to lose when they're dominating as underdogs? They were slicing and dicing them with big routes and slants. The kid Fromm has a cannon. Put it on him. Continue. Keep going. Sling it. Keep slinging it. Why did they keep feeding the rock to Chubbs? I mean, he had two guys around his ankles before he could even get moving. Like your boy you just interviewed said, Michelle is the real back on that team. Way quicker, way more dynamic. And to think about it, if I was, if you think about watching the second half, I couldn't help but wonder if Georgia, the dogs got an inspirational pregame speech from Big Bro, the Mr. Falcons. Like if you looked into the locker room real quick, it'd be like, all right, peeps, listen up. This is the biggest moment of your life. When you get a lead in this game and whatever you're doing is working, it's imperative that you take your foot off the gas. No one wants to make a mistake and accidentally establish some sort of dominance and do something crazy like win a championship. So listen, this is key. Damn it, listen up. You in the back, stop talking. Midway through the third quarter, you're going to wrap both hands directly around your trachea. Both hands. And squeeze until you pass out like little bitches.
All right, Kevin. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Albie. You've got that hammer, Albie. What good is it if you're not going to use it?
You don't like that cup.
I don't like that cup.
This is really good.
Not a very good cup.
All right, so I think a lot of you, if you're watching on TV right now, you probably have always wondered, so who's got that hammer? Who's got that LT buzzer? Is it Rome or is it Albie? Notice there's nothing in front of me. There's no button for me to hit. I was waiting for Alvin to run that guy after he said, look, you little bitches. And I'm like, Alvin, why do you not run that guy? Alvin looks at me and says, quote, because it was funny. Normally we're aligned. I don't know, Alvin, this TV thing's going to your head. It's all that cake. It's all that face cake that you get earlier and earlier and earlier, I've noticed. You're spending more and more time in the makeup room. It's going to your head, quote, because it's funny. Prior to being on TV, Alvin, if anybody talked about anybody being a collection of little bitches, you would have brought that hammer down so hard. But now it's funny.
And squeeze until you pass out like little bitches.
Boy, they're here to pile on, aren't they? They're here to pile on. Going back to that point about the running game, Sony Michel is a freak. Now, I know the two of them in the backfield are a great 1-2 punch. Chubbs was not having a good night. He just wasn't. What they were doing with him was not working. Sony Michel, every time he touched the ball, something good happened. This guy is a punishing, devastating back. Pound this guy. Pound him. What you're doing is working. You have a lead. You're playing in your own backyard. In the first half, you can't tell me Saban wasn't gripping hard. I've never seen Nick Saban look so nervous. And rightfully so. They had every reason to be concerned. Why do you think he made the quarterback switch that he made? But they found a way to come from ahead and lose, just like every other assistant has done against Nick Saban. And like I said, there's a lot of Alabama fatigue, and the bad news is this guy's not going anywhere, and they're getting younger, and they're getting better. So if you hate these guys, get used to it. There's going to be a lot more where that came from. When we come back, we switch up. We talk some NFL. Derek Morgan, Tennessee Titans linebacker, joins me in 10 minutes from right now. We chase that with a conversation with Aaron Jackson, a U.S. Olympic speed skater, and then we're open phones the rest of the way. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome, and this is CBS Sports Radio.